This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out on Old Dan once again, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue, New Orleans, Louisiana. And we're heard locally here over WLNO in New Orleans, and they stream this broadcast at www.wlno.com every morning, 8:45, our Central Standard Time. And then I want to give you our email address. It's pastor@radiomissions.org. That's pastor@radiomissions.org. And then our website, where I wish you'd go there, is radiomissions.org. There, on Sunday morning, you can hear our live streaming of our Bible school and our worship hour. Just go there to radiomissions.org, and you'll see the instructions there how to go to live streaming. And you'll be able to hear those broadcasts, 10 and 11, Central Standard Time. And if you would, write me, I'll send you all that information in print. But we're bringing you a series of studies now on the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we've come down now to the church at Sardis. We've been looking at the letters to the seven churches there, and we've come down now to the church at Sardis, which was called the Dead Church. And we come to that study dictated there to John by the Lord, and was sent there to the church at Sardis in Revelation 3, 1 through 6. We want to take just a moment or two to read those verses and what the Lord said. Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast that name, that thou livest and art dead. Oh, how sad, my friends. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. Then they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So this is the letter to the church at Sardis, which means those escaping. That's the word Sardis means, those escaping. We out there in the country somewhere, riding around sometimes, and we see an old country church on the side of the road. Sardis Baptist Church, Sardis Methodist Church, or Sardis Primitive Baptist. And it means those escaping. I wonder if those folks who attend there know what that word means. It signifies escaping from a dangerous position or condition. The church at Sardis had fallen into cold, lifeless formalism. We see that today, don't we? Spiritually, it was dead. We see that today, don't we? And Christ said, thou hast a name that thou livest, and thou art dead. It means that they put on a front. They professed something that they didn't possess. So the Lord Jesus Christ introduced himself to this spiritually dead church as he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. This description of our Lord sets forth his personality in dealing with such a church. He that hath the seven spirits of God indicates his fullness of power and his fullness of wisdom over against the unfulfilled or the imperfect works of the church as they came up before God. So the Lord Jesus approaches this church in the fullness of his power and his wisdom. He also approaches them as the one that has the seven stars. In Revelation 1:20, he says, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The word angel, as we have said before, means simply the messenger or the pastor or the leader of that church Also in Revelation 1:20, he says he holds the seven stars, that is the pastors, in his right hand. This is the recognition that the minister, the pastor, belongs to Christ. The pastor belongs to Christ and not to the church. Would you get that? Listen, would you get that? Nowhere in God's word is the pastor or the minister of the church ever spoken of or referred to as a servant of the church. Now, I have people tell me, well, he was a servant of the church for 40 years. He was a faithful servant of the old Mount so-and-so church. No, he was not, my friend. He is a servant or the bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell my folks here at the First Baptist Church of Christ, First Baptist Church of Algiers, that I'm not the servant of this church. I'm the servant of the Lord. I'm a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pastor this church. I lead this church by the grace of God as a shepherd leads a sheep. But I'm not the servant of this church. I'm not your servant. I'm not anyone's servant. The Lord Jesus Christ, listen now, holds his servants in his right hand. Therefore, the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ is responsible to who? Who are you responsible to, Pastor? To the Lord Jesus Christ, to his master. The Lord Jesus places his pastor at the disposal of the church. But throughout the New Testament, the pastor's relationship to the church is threefold. First, he is a shepherd of the flock and has been appointed as such by the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, let me tell you this. God's pastor is a shepherd, the shepherd of the sheep. Now, do you know what a shepherd does? He guides the sheep. He leads the sheep. He protects them from harm's way. And he brings them in and out of the sheepfold, day in and day out. But you know what else he does? He shears the sheep. Did you know it's the shepherd's job to shear the sheep? That's right. Ever so often, they shear the sheep. And that's my job, to shear the sheep. You say, well, you're being facetious. No, I'm not. It's my position to lay on your hearts, according to God's word, how to support the work, to give as unto the Lord. So we shear the sheep. And we often have an old billy goat get in the flock, and he comes along. We shear him too. So if you're an old billy goat, you don't give God his due, then the shepherd is to shear that sheep. First, he's a shepherd, and he's appointed by the Lord to shear the sheep and to shepherd the sheep. Now, we saw in 4:7, he gave some apostles in Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. The word pastor means shepherd. The shepherd is to lead the sheep and feed them. And he says on one occasion, feed my sheep. Paul said, I fail not to declare the whole counsel of God unto you. And his charge to the pastor was, preach the word. That's the call. That's the verses the Lord gave me when he called me here as a pastor of this church, or found over there in Timothy. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. And endure with all long suffering. Therefore, folks ask me, what does that mean to rebuke and reprove? Well, the best I can understand from God's word and God leading me is that to rebuke sin is to rebuke sin. Call attention to sin. And that's what I do here. I have folks come here, and I find that they're living in sin, shacking up, other things. I call their attention to it. I call their attention to it. Folks say I call their number. But if they don't straighten up, I call their name. You say, Trailblazer, you call their name? Yes, I sure do, if they just won't have it, if they won't do it. I have used to have young people come here once in a while with a ring in their tongue and a ring in their nose and a ring in their ear and maybe one in their belly button. And I tell them, no, that's against God's word. You can't come here with a ring in your nose. You can't do that. Or a ring in your tongue. It looks like mom and daddy would take a hold of these children, don't it? I'm not supposed to be a mama and a papa to your children, my friend. But anybody with any common sense will know that a young teenage girl or boy don't need a ring in their tongue. Don't come up to me with that flub, back up, flub, I can't talk, I got to, don't come to me. Oh, no, my friend. I just think about maybe sometime. I live back there on the farm where my dad worked hard and taught us boys how to work, and we had to help make a living. And I just wonder sometime what he would have done if I would have come up beside of him. And I said, you know, Dad, I got me a ring down there at the tattoo shop. I got me a diamond stud in my tongue. You know what he'd have done? He would have slapped me for his outhouse. He would have slapped me so hard that it would have rained down stars like the old comic books alley-oop when he used to hit the old dinosaur on the head with his club. My friend, listen, we've gone to sea. We've gotten away. We've turned our children loose to the devil. We've given him a clear title of our children. Go on down there to the tattoo shop. Go on down there and have your ears wrung out and your tongue wrung out and don't come around me with it. No, sir. No, sir. I'm to feed the sheep, he said. But listen, also preach the word. Therefore, the minister gets his orders directly from Christ and his message directly from the word through and by the Holy Spirit. And he keeps an eye directly upon his master, because as the bondslave of Christ, he has no will except the will of the Father. He has no plans or programs except to be given him from heaven. Yes, from heaven. Second, the preacher is also called a bishop sometimes. This is a true saying. If any man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. The bishop means simply overseer. As an overseer, he's to watch the flock and to warn them of approaching danger. Now, folks ask me, said, Pastor, how do you get by with preaching so boldly? And I said, well, you know, I'm not trying to make a name for myself. I'm not trying to make a name for this church. And I don't, my salvation doesn't rise and fall in what folks think of me. And I'm not trying to be somebody come. I'm just bringing you, thus saith the Lord, the raw word of God. I often use that expression. The raw word of God, my friend, it tells men, repent, repent, repent of those things. But listen, the shepherd also is to protect his flock and instruct them regarding error that might creep in. As he walks in fellowship with the Lord, he is given the spirit of discernment. Thirdly, the pastor is called an elder. Titus 1:5. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things which are wanting, and ordain elders as I appoint thee. Now, my friend, we've gotten a long way from what the Bible says, isn't it? We have women preachers on every hand. We have homosexual preachers, lesbian preachers. We have Satan-controlled pastors and preachers who get up on the radio and romp and stomp and foam at the mouth and suck for air. My friend, that doesn't honor and glorify the Lord. No, that doesn't honor the Lord. That's all demon possession. You say, well, you're just judging. Well, the scripture says, judge a tree by the fruit it bears. Did you know an apple tree don't drop pears? Oh, no. And then I go back to my old favorite stock verse. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Is your pastor a new creature? Pastor, are you a new creature? Are you still slipping around with the boys, drinking a Bud Light every now and then? Are you? Or do you play golf on Sunday afternoon instead of being home studying and reading and praying and asking the Lord to give you the message for that night? We don't have church on Sunday night anymore. We are of the modern day, and we've canceled the Sunday night services, and we just have service on Sunday mornings now, and we give our folks a time to rest. Yes, rest, stay home, watch the damnable TV. But my friend, the Lord's going to hold you responsible for that. Oh, listen, listen. We need to be careful, don't we? Well, I praise the Lord for the old Trailblazer broadcast. If we're able to come into your homes there and just chat with you a little bit and bring you God's message and be true to your soul. I'm trying to be true to your soul day in and day out. And I wish you'd sit down and write me. My mailing address is the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Goodbye and God bless you.